Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on December 7th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia.
2020.
Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a discussion with House Budget Chairman Merle Smith about how he plans to approach the budget writing process when session returns in January, and what he may do with $775 million in available one-time money. Scott Morgan has a report on how the United Way of Greenville County is handling an influx of calls for assistance, the South Carolina Ports Authority continues to show strong volumes, and Tut Underwood gets the latest for us on handling our mental health during the holidays. Those stories and more coming up. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's happening in your world, such as how you're handling the holidays, what you're doing amid these higher case numbers, and just anything else going on in your world. We want to hear about it. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 4,249 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 218,820 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of December 7th at 4 p.m. Our current percent positive rate is 19.4%. There are 1,025 patients hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state. 243 patients are in intensive care, and 108 are on ventilators. The Greenville News points out that Greenville, South Carolina's most populous county, has led the state in new COVID cases every day since November 6. That is not a title you want, folks. And now for some even more disturbing news. From Friday through Monday, we saw 2,000-plus new cases a day, totaling 10,136 confirmed cases and 109 confirmed deaths just from those 4 days alone. We had a case record set on Saturday of 2,715. So again, like we said on Friday, this is an all-hands-on-deck moment. This is definitely the fallout from Thanksgiving, so you need to start seriously reevaluating how you are interacting with the public and others. Christmas, of course, is not canceled, but parties certainly should be. Like I said, I canceled mine. I didn't want to, but I'm not going to be responsible for a spreader event. I'm no longer even having small get-togethers unless it's outside. So take responsibility and give medical professionals a break. On Monday, the Presidential Inaugural Committee announced that House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn would be the committee's chairman for the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. 4 co-chairs were also announced. Now, the co-chairs will help guide the committee through the planning and organizing of historic inaugural activities that will prioritize keeping people safe while engaging Americans across the country. Clyburn, in a statement, said, quote, "The peaceful transfer of power surrounding the inauguration is a bedrock of American democracy that represents our nation's highest ideals. This inauguration will show the country and the world something I have always known. We know Joe, and Joe knows us." The inauguration is January 20th. Speaking of President-elect Joe Biden, he officially won Georgia for the 4th time on Monday. This came after a third counting of ballots and a certification that has already occurred. Now, the Electoral College meets next Monday in states across the country to elect the next president. You can watch South Carolina's meeting on scstatehouse.gov under the Senate and House meeting schedules. And last week, I caught up with House Ways and Means Chairman Merle Smith, who says South Carolina is better situated to handle the COVID-19 downturn facing the state compared to most others. I asked him how he plans to approach the budget-making process when lawmakers return in January.
Well, I think we're going to approach the budget in a cautious manner, and that's the first thing we need to do, because we still have COVID really rearing its ugly head in the state again. And so until we get COVID in the rearview mirror, I think our focus is going to continue to be on that and making sure that we have enough money left in the budget that we can sustain government should we hit an economic downturn a little worse than what we have right now. we are not looking at new spending priorities. I think what we're doing is we're looking at COVID and how we deal with the COVID situation. I would imagine that we're going to hear from DHEC shortly that's going to say if we don't have any assistance from the federal government, we're going to need some more money for testing and some implementation of the vaccines. So there's a lot of unknowns that we're dealing with, and I think before we start making promises, we need to make sure that we assess the landscape that we're in right now. And you know, right, unfortunately, we're changing presidents and we're changing, and new Congress is coming in, and they're going to be different priorities. And so we're going to have to see what those priorities are and how they line up and be nimble in our approach to the budget.
But what about spending on new things like teacher pay raises or possibly even a supplemental budget bill for the state for January to June, since the state is currently operating under the same budget from the previous year? Smith explains.
We again need to identify what the priorities are that would necessitate us to write that new bill, a new supplemental bill. And, you know, obviously there's still a large push for teacher step increases. And we had some discussions when we were here a few months ago about if the economy sustains itself and it does not take a dip, that we would make teacher step increases a priority in the House. And I think we're still committed to that. Unfortunately, we got some bad news from the Board of Economic Advisors that there was another $50 million drop in revenues. And so there's not enough money for the recurring money for going forward to be able to have that $50 million that the Senate appropriated. And all I can say is thank goodness that we did not pass that budget, because we'd be here not talking about supplemental bill, we'd be here talking about a rescission bill had we adopted what the Senate passed in September.
With everyone wondering will they or won't they in D.C. over the next COVID relief bill, I asked Chairman Smith whether we could see our own version of a relief bill by using some of the $775 million in surplus. This is one-time money available thanks to previous budget surpluses. Now, this money, unlike the paltry additional $36 million currently projected in recurring dollars, can only be used for things like capital improvements and infrastructure upgrades, not operational expenses like salaries.
Well, I think we're all watching what's happening in D.C. at this point, because there's talks about having another round of stimulus coming into the economy. And if they don't, then that certainly will be one of the discussions that we'll have as we move forward. But I think we need to also recognize that we need to preserve what the revenues and the reserves that we have, and for us to go and spend the money now and have a stimulus and only need to have that money if something happens to our economy and it worsens, it would be foolish of us. So, you know, I think we're going to take a cautious wait and see approach as to where we're going, and I don't, you know, hopefully we won't be running into a storm head on and spending money, because we don't know what the outcome of the storm was. It's going to be a little windstorm, or whether it's going to be a full-blown hurricane, and that's what we're worried about as we move forward.
Now, Smith has already assigned chairmen to subcommittees who oversee separate parts of the budget, so expect them to get to work fairly quickly on that right now. And he added another priority for next year. We'll be moving forward on the future of the state-owned utility, Santee Cooper. That's a name y'all weren't missing. On any given day, the United Way of Greenville County used to field 50, maybe 60 calls from residents needing help. When the pandemic and its economic haymaker struck, call volume increased to 500 a day, and it stayed there. Scott Morgan with South Carolina Public Radio has this report.
Can you get a drink of water from your kitchen sink, or flip on the lights, or work your stove? Because 8,500 households in Greenville couldn't.
We found many people were hurting. They were being evicted, lights were being shut off, water services disconnected. They were reaching out for help from other organizations, and they were not getting calls back.
This is Deidre Bowen with the United Way of Greenville County. A few months ago, the United Way's phone lines started lighting up. Callers, Bowen says, who had fallen far behind in their utilities and rent bills thanks to the pandemic. The agency went from getting its usual 60 calls a day to
500 plus calls per day of people needing help.
And suddenly, 8,500 households in Greenville County were $8 million in the red for their electric, water, gas, internet, and rent bills, with seemingly nowhere to turn.
I had a client who had been out of water. He contacted, it was a disabled veteran. He had been without water for over 6 weeks. And he had reached out to other organizations and he could not get assistance or he didn't qualify because he was receiving a certain amount of income.
And living off a check once a month, it can be difficult.
Pelissa German has spent most of this year out of work because of the coronavirus. But even in non-COVID times, work for her is not easy.
I tried to do the boat rehab, but the doctor said it was too much on. I kept getting sick. He felt the stress was too much, so I'm sitting at home now.
Stress of any kind greatly aggravates German's Crohn's disease. It's a condition that requires a special diet. The problem there is...
I don't get any food stamps, and food is going up. They want me to drink those insurance, and them things is $21 a box. I mean, if you want me to drink three or four, I can't afford that.
But German, like a lot of her neighbors, is getting help.
We launched the Greenville County Resource Line in March as a direct response to the need that we knew would happen around COVID.
This is Megan Barb. She's the CEO of the United Way of Greenville County, and together we visited Pelissa German so that the United Way could help pay her back rent. The money to make this kind of thing possible comes from $1.2 million in federal CARES funds. It also comes from donations through the United Way's Keep the Lights On campaign and the agency's direct work with corporations.
Because we were hearing from Duke Energy, Greenville Water, Piedmont Natural Gas, that they had so many households that were so significantly in arrears, we wanted to do something about that.
Back in March, when things started shutting down, we realized as a company very quickly that we needed to find ways to help our customers.
Ryan Mosier is the chief spokesman for Duke Energy.
The specific work with United Way of Greenville came about when federal funds became available through Greenville County. We worked with them to, one, help them with their application to receive the funds, two, helping them get the word out.
Mosher says Duke started encouraging customers to contact it to work out options and payment plans. The company still encourages customers to do so, but the financial storm so many in Greenville are weathering is not just about Duke. That's why both Mosher and Barb say their respective agencies are working with so many other agencies to tackle a multifaceted problem.
As much as possible, we're coordinating with other partners in the community because we know that we can't do it alone. It takes a lot of resource.
And for residents like 66-year-old Barbara Pollard, who needed significant help with her utilities accounts, the effort is a blessing.
It's not hard to ask for help. I just feel that you shouldn't ask for help if you don't need it. You know, I honestly don't have the money to pay my deposits for my utilities because otherwise I wouldn't ask.
Now that she's gotten some help, Pollard says she might have enough left over after paying her bills to buy herself something she can't always afford, like a soda.
Thanks, Scott. And sticking with the upstate, the Greenville News reports that there is roughly $3 million in grants available to Greenville County restaurants and hospitality-related businesses for modifications to comply with COVID-19 standards. The deadline to apply is December 18th, and the money must be spent by December 30th. The application is available at communityworkscarolina.org. Now, this grant is funded by the $91 million in federal CARES Act dollars the county received earlier this year. And finally, on our way out, the South Carolina Ports Authority reports that it saw record volumes in November. SC Ports saw a 12% year-over-year increase in 20-foot equivalent container units handled at Wando Welch and North Charleston container terminals. Vehicles also remain a strong segment with a 4.5% year-over-year increase of vehicles handled at Columbus Street Terminal. Ports President and CEO Jim Newsom said, quote, SC Ports had a truly remarkable month with a record November for containers handled, as well as impressive results in our vehicles and inland ports segments, quote. Now, SCPA just celebrated the 3 million square foot Walmart Import Distribution Center groundbreaking in Ridgeville, which will boost port volumes by 5% once it's operational. A lot going on down there. The holidays can be a double-edged sword. They certainly are, for most, a time of joy and togetherness with family and friends. But for many, they can also be a time of stress and even depression. A new element this year can increase the load of normal holiday stress, fears about the COVID-19 pandemic. South Carolina Public Radio's Tut Underwood has this report.
USC nursing professor Dr. Sue Heine said COVID worries can add to the already high stress of the holidays, especially if one is trying to safely have family festivities.
How do I entertain if I'm the host or the hostess? How do I entertain safely? To do that, there are extra things that have to be done. And then worrying about who's coming that might be at risk. That could be anyone with an autoimmune disorder, an older family member, maybe grandma or grandpa or Aunt Lucy or whoever. So I think it just hits us from so many directions.
Because this phenomenon is so new, a term such as COVID stress would not be common yet. But Heine said,
you've definitely got stress that emanates from the threat of COVID, from knowing that people have died of COVID, from being worried about getting it yourself. And the CDC certainly recognizes that even if you're in a hot spot, the strong emotions can be activated.
USC psychologist Dr. Cheryl Armstead has what she calls the RERE holiday stress formula. It includes respecting the risks of travel and gatherings, as well as the benefits of mask wearing and social distancing. She said a lot of holiday stress is based on shouldas, wouldas, and couldas.
What we should be doing for the holidays, what we would be doing for the holidays if COVID hadn't hit, and what we could do for the holidays in the wake of COVID. And reevaluating and rewinding means that you mindfully focus on what are some of the things that are negotiable.
Armstead said to avoid COVID and its stress, people should rethink big gatherings this year, but to make clear the love and respect for others that is behind their decisions.
One of the things that I hear people talk about is grandma is getting on in her years and she might not be here for another Christmas. Well, if you want to ensure that grandma's not going to be here for another Christmas, have a large gathering, don't wear a mask, don't hand wash, don't social distance, and don't do the COVID quarantine before your holiday visit. That makes it more likely that she won't be there.
So what can people do to deal with COVID stress? Heine gave some simple but time-tested advice.
I always tell people to get out and walk or do some form of exercise. That is the best way to get the body to metabolize the adrenaline. That is one of those first hormones that starts flipping out. And walking in nature is even better. So get out and take a walk or walk in place, do some exercises, do something that will use up energy.
Heine said connection to people is critical to dealing with stress, especially since COVID has kept many people apart.
The physical isolation is bad enough, but the social isolation and the lack of social connection is really damaging. And so figuring out some ways to keep socially connected is really important.
Armstead added that virtual gatherings and other uses of technology can even lead to new traditions for keeping up with family and friends at remote distances.
Thanks, Tut, for that report. You can find that one, Scott's story, and more news on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. How have you changed routines during these colder days? What are your plans for Christmas break? What tips do you have for dealing with stress during these challenging times? Tell us anything that's on your mind right now. 803-563-7169. Leave us a message, 1 to 3 minutes, your name and where you're calling from, and just a little slice of life in your world. Now, AT, do we have any new messages?
We have no audio messages,
actually. This is like a new drought we've been experiencing.
This is a drought. I think we need a fresh batch of shame.
Yes,
Cole will be delivered. I think all these listeners are just scared to call in,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be scared.
You probably couldn't cut it, actually. So, I'm glad you're not calling in.
Yeah,
maybe
show us what you got. It's like a scene from one of those dance movies where they're like, okay, rookie, what you got? And they get on stage and they just do it, but then they also have crippling stage fright, so they can't perform outside of the small groups.
Performance anxiety is something that we can all relate with, okay?
I mean, you don't even want to know about this podcast and what it takes for AT to motivate me to get on the microphone.
I can't have anyone looking at me. I'm wearing blinders like a horse right now.
Even though we're on FaceTime, I make sure AT does not look at me.
No.
It's not a power thing. It's really just a performance thing.
It's my problem. Yeah, it's performance anxiety. I mean, I couldn't get up to do this if it weren't for all my mantras and meditation before this. Anyway, no new messages because apparently everyone has performance anxiety and cannot call in. Prove us wrong.
But we have...
We do have a written.
We have some written responses from our iTunes that happened in November. I think I missed one of these too, so I wanted to make sure we could share them. Because if you don't feel like leaving us a voicemail, give us a nice 5-star review and talk about how clever everything is and all that fun stuff.
And how great we are and how cool
I will tell you, like this next one, we don't know this person, I don't think so. But it reads just like how we want everyone to feel about the podcast. And I'll quote from Mickey Story, who wrote, "Always some interesting updates on South Carolina. I feel like this is the best way to keep up with our state!" Gavin and AT sure know how to make it fun too! If you want the latest on SC and you need it to stay fast-paced and fun, subscribe forever!
I love it. Way to end it.
I think that was in all caps.
Subscribe forever was all caps, I do believe.
I didn't want to yell at anybody.
No, scream it from the rooftops. I love it.
And then we had another one earlier in November, which AT, I know this one really gets you going. It's from MPC 1984. Says, "First-rate stuff here, people!" I won't belabor the points already made. But is anyone going to mention that the segment transition music keeps getting better and better?
Question mark, exclamation point.
Full disclosure, my rating also takes into account the SC Lead Pod Instagram content.
Thank you.
So, AT, do you want to give them a little insight into the magic that goes into the transition music that you produce?
Oh, my bumper music? I mean, beep, I scour the internet. Beep, up, beep, beep, beep. I look through all the bits and bytes of every tube on the internet, and I find the best music. And I am glad. I mean, that was very gratifying, MPC 1984, for you to point that out, because I really work hard on that, and I also work hard on the dank memes to maybe bring a little smile to your face.
You're
just staring at this screen, and if it went black, you'd be horrified by what you see. But I'm glad that you can smile just a little bit looking at the dank memes. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, we didn't have any voicemails. We had those nice reviews, but also we got reached out to. We had some diehard leaders reach out to us on our Instagram account at SE Lead Pod.
Slid into the DMs.
Yeah. Ryan and Grayson reached out and said, "Hey, we love the show. Listen religiously. Just wanted to say thanks and come have a beer with us at Craft and Draft." And we're like, "Well, twist my arm, right?
I mean, my arm."
Now, you weren't available, AT, but I was in town.
I was out golfing. I was off doing a golf or two.
It's a t-shirt dad phrase right there. Golfing.
I'd rather be golfing.
If you can read this, I'm out golfing.
But Gavin, you went. You went and IRL met some leaders finding leaders. You know what I mean?
It was super fun. You know, just catching up with people. People have great questions. They want to know, you know, just sometimes basic things about, you know, how it all works, you know, in our association with PBS and NPR and things like that. And, you know, they give us great feedback about how, you know, Ryan was telling me that he doesn't feel like he can deduce one way or the other about like my political leanings, which of course is the whole point. We're not here to give you guys our opinions on the news. We'll give you our opinions on, you know, cooking with ginger or cheese.
Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel's.
All that good stuff.
Filmography.
This is our little opinion section. Whereas, you know, the news, just give it to you straight. You make your own decisions. Go from there. Find out some other news resources and outlets to
check
out.
Vin Diesel 2024.
Untold Story. Don't they have like two or three more of those coming out? Jesus.
Three more Fast and Furious films.
God, who is asking for these?
Yes, baby. John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother in the new one coming out. Can you believe how good that's going to be? But keep going. Yeah, you met these guys IRL. You were very safe.
Yeah, we were outside of Craft and Draft, so they were smart. And I was like, totally, because again, like I said in the beginning, like that's the only way I'm meeting up with people these days is outside. Mm-hmm. They had Charlestown Fermentary on tap, the Telstar, which they only serve in the half pints because it's like 8%. And I was like, come on, give me the full pint, baby.
You couldn't finagle yourself a full pint?
I didn't know anyone working at the time.
You didn't drop me or my wife's
name
there.
Well, I don't think A.T. Shire or his wife, Caitlin, will like this very much when I tell them about it. I didn't know that was a thing. Then they cut off at over 8%. I've always got.
Well, it depends. Yeah, higher ABV, you get smaller amounts because we don't want to be friggin' saucing these dudes up when they go.
I mean, I knew what I was getting myself into, but
you are a Charlestown fermentary boy.
I was telling them about it. I was like, oh my god, you know, I sent you a picture of it. Yeah, I was really stoked.
That's your official drink. Yeah.
So it was really great, and hope to hang out with them again soon. They were talking about the lead happy hour, which we have not done. I don't remember
when we
did that one. We probably should, because they were talking about it. It was a lot of fun. We were a little little fun. We were a little tipsy. That's good.
I would say not enough talk about Total Recall that day.
Yeah, there was a lot to talk about. We were in the middle of, what was it, primaries? Was it June?
The trail was hot and heavy.
Yeah, trail was totally hot and heavy. Now it would be a little bit more like informal, you know, submit your questions, have some fun. So we can think about that. Obviously, you know, we're at the end of the year right now. We're kind of wrapping things up, got some stuff planned.
I mean, let us know. Call in. Let us know.
We could probably do a fun session one, like a start of session and happy hour.
If you want a Christmas sort of soiree with us digitally, let us know.
Yeah, and if not, then we can definitely do like a you know, session kickoff, because that's always a great. That's always our Columbia live taping event, is our session preview episode.
We always do it. It's very sad we're not going to be able to do it this year. That's our big thing.
Can't even remember what it was like to be doing those live tapings.
Gets out there and sees all his fans, his screaming, adoring fans.
Now they would just be spewing COVID on me.
Yeah, which, if I get it from my fans,
you know, if I get it from my fans, okay.
No, don't say that.
I'm just kidding,
folks.
Don't
say that.
But if I get it, I mean, yes, I will die for my fans. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Don't touch him. Don't ever touch me or Gavin.
Yeah, even in good times, like, you're not supposed to
touch. Don't look at us. Don't touch us. That is where we draw
it's
the line.
It's kind of like in The Crown, where, like, you can't touch the queen. I'm not saying it's, like, the same, but
we're not
similar.
Saying we're the same, but we're just saying we are royalty.
just read the reviews. Don't touch my back.
We're royalty. Okay.
Yes, and really quick, I just started going through season 3 of Twin Peaks again on Showtime because I don't have HBO Go anymore. My brother, I don't know what's wrong with his login, but I think you have to get HBO
Max
now has to be like paid for separately than your HBO subscription.
Not true.
Something's going on. I've already brought it up with management, my brother.
Yeah. So,
what's up with your password, bro? But I'm glad I finished The Undoing before that happened, because
you've come undone.
Yeah, it was definitely undoing.
You've come undone.
I've come undone. Is that the clip you want?
No. I have something better for the end. Anyway, take it. It's the end. Take it out.
It's
take
the
it
end.
Out.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening to the pod again. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review like those wonderful people did on iTunes, or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. And do it now, folks. We are in a pledge drive. Get a membership for yourself and someone else this Christmas holiday season. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Yeah, you started at a great time. You started at 3:11, bro.
Oh, you know, I woke up this morning at 3:11.
Did you?
I said, LOL, then I went back to sleep. I'm like, what time is it? I'm like, 3:11. I'm like, far out. And I was like,
chill.
I just wanted to, like, play through the discography, and I didn't have time. I was like...